Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about gambling on sports. Gambling on sports. Big story in the paper the other day, and this is a nationwide thing, but we'll talk about the Michigan and statewide applications of these questions. But according to a survey, in America, about $10 billion with a B will be bet on March Madness. You know, the brackets and the basketball games and all that stuff. According to the Associated Press story, and I saw this several different places, America's gambling industry predicts that $10 billion will be bet on the March Madness college basketball tournament, nearly all of it illegally or off the books. This is a great example of one of those crimes or laws that most people disregard and just assume. It's kind of like, hey, everybody's doing it. You know, hear about office pools, pools at, you know, schools and classes and things of that nature. And this is one of the reasons that the American Gaming Association favors the full legalization and regulation of sports betting in the U.S. The U.S. Supreme Court is weeks away from ruling on New Jersey's challenge to a law limiting legal sports betting to just four states, Delaware, Montana, Nevada, and Oregon. And a ruling that legalizes sports betting nationwide could provide new revenue opportunities for cash-strapped state governments as well as casino companies. The group found 54 million people, or about a quarter of the U.S. population, participated in a sports betting pool last year. That seems high to me, but I don't know. They spent approximately $18 billion doing that. That includes 24 million who filled out basketball bracket pools and spent $2.6 billion on entry fees. So, you know, in Michigan, it turns out that gambling is illegal. At least most kinds of gambling. Now, we do have casinos. There are casinos on Indian reservations, and there's also casinos on within the city limits of Detroit due to a ballot initiative that got passed a while back. So there are casinos downtown, and there's casinos scattered about the state. But generally speaking, the pools that you get involved in at an office or workplace or someplace else, those are illegal technically, but you never hear about them getting busted up. One of the things I have about gambling is if you're going to gamble like with a bookie or something, I've never done that, but I know people who have. And, I know a guy who had a bookie that he would call in bets. And if he won, the bookie'd pay him. And if he lost, the bookie'd show up and look for his money. And one weekend there was some wacky, and I forgot if it was basketball or football, but bookies don't just take money on win or loss, you know, of a particular match, you know, a game or something. Sometimes they'll actually do these other ones like over-unders, and you bet on the coin toss, the Super Bowl. You bet on how many, you know, touchdowns will be scored, you know, before the first time one of the announcers says something, whatever. And there was one wacky bet one weekend where there were three games that were tied together for some reason. And the bookie said, you know, if you bet and you could actually accurately call these three games, there was some outlandish payout possibility. Of course, the odds of calling those three games accurately pretty slim, but of course, gamblers like those odds. So the guy I know actually called the bookie and placed the bet, and the way the bookie handled it was he had an answering machine, and you'd leave your bets on his answering machine, and that way, if there's ever a dispute, he'd say, come on in, we'll play you back your bet, because I have it on tape. And so anyways, the weekend that happened, the three games, the guy I know called those three games properly and he won that bet. And he called up the bookie and said, hey, what, you know, when do I get my money? And the guy goes, for what? And the guy I know said, well, I called that funky bet with the three games. And the guy goes, no, you know, it's weird. He goes, my answering machine malfunctioned. I didn't get any bets this weekend. Nobody had bets. I had to basically just say, you know, nobody bet money this weekend because my answering machine malfunctioned. And I heard the story and I go, you don't believe that, do you? And he goes, well, he's always been honest with me before. And I said, yeah, because you're probably winning, you're losing, you're winning, you're losing. This time you had a big score. He probably couldn't afford to cover it. So whether it's honor among bookies versus honor among thieves, I don't know. But that's always the problem. You know, are you going to take the bookie to court and sue him? Because you can't. Turns out gambling like that's illegal in Michigan. I mentioned that earlier. And so here's the question. You know, there are ways you can place bets legally. There's ways you can place bets that are borderline, like, you know, on the internet or something. And then, of course, there's places that say it's absolutely illegal to gamble. So, for instance, in Michigan, MCL 750.301, accepting money or valuable thing contingent on uncertain event. and this is under the chapter called gambling, any person or his agent or employee who directly or indirectly takes, receives, or accepts from any person any money or valuable thing with the agreement, understanding, or allegation that any money or valuable thing will be paid or delivered to any person where the payment or delivery is alleged to be or will be contingent upon the result of any race, contest, or game, or upon the happening of any event not known by the parties to be certain, is guilty of a misdemeanor, punishable by imprisonment for not more than 1 year, or a fine of not more than $1,000. So, of course, that talks about the person who takes, receives, or accepts the bet, okay? And then I'm here to tell you that there's pages and pages and pages of things talking about, you know, pools. Putting money into pools is also illegal. Racing results, betting at those off track would be illegal also. And then it talks about other things, gaming houses, running a gaming house that's not licensed. You know, the casinos don't want the competition. Although this law has been on the books, I'm guessing, since about 1925. So long before 1925, long before the casinos were even thought of as being a possibility here in Michigan. But here's the funny thing. While digging through these laws on gambling, I found some very, very interesting archaic laws. These are laws that I can't imagine have ever been enforced in the history of Michigan. But if they have been, it's probably a long time ago. But turns out winning at gambling is illegal. And I'm not making this up. MCL 750.314 is entitled Winning at Gambling. Any person who by playing at cards, dice, or any other game, or by betting or putting up money on cards, or by any other means or device in the nature of betting on cards or betting of any kind, wins or obtains any sum of money or any goods or any article of value whatsoever, if you win this, you are guilty of a misdemeanor. If the money, goods, or articles so won or obtained are of the value of not more than $50, if the money, goods, or articles so won or obtained are the value of more than $50, the person is guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by imprisonment for not more than 1 year or a fine of not more than $1,500. So it's a misdemeanor. There's a cutoff at $50. If it's over 50, it's presumably a harsher one. But if it's below 50, it's a lesser fine. But that's if you've won at gambling. Okay, so you say, okay, well, that's interesting, but we're punishing one half of the transaction. Stay tuned, because at 750.315, losing at gambling is also talked about. Losing at gambling, any person who shall lose any sum of money or any goods, article, or thing of value by playing or betting on cards, dice, or by any other device in the nature of such playing or betting, and shall pay or deliver the same or any part thereof to the winner, and shall not within 3 months after such loss prosecute with effect for such money or goods, the winner to whom such money or goods shall have been paid or delivered, shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, punishable by a fine of not exceeding 3 times the value of such money or goods. Such loser... Can you imagine the law actually calls you a loser? Such loser may sue for and recover such money in an action for money had and received to the use of the plaintiff, and such goods, article, or valuable thing in an action of a pleven, or the value thereof in any action on the case. So basically what they're telling you is that if you've lost money gambling in Michigan, we're talking about card games, because I don't think they had sports betting here. This is simply cards and dice and things of that nature, table games. The loser of one of these games, if it didn't happen in a casino, can sue the winner. And we've already told you the winner has broken the law. It's a misdemeanor. But if you don't sue to get your money back, you're also guilty. So in theory, okay, there's a card game going on and we're all playing cards and one person's a big winner and they walk out of there with all the money. And all these losers walk out with no money, okay? The winner is guilty of a crime. And the losers, if they don't sue to get their money back, are also guilty of a crime. I am here to tell you, I've never heard of anybody suing to get their money back. And occasionally you'll hear about a card game getting broken up or something like that, but it's very, very uncommon. But it does happen. So here's the thing. Michigan is one of the states that currently is looking at legalizing and regulating gambling in the sense of betting on sports. I believe you can go to the casinos right now and do this, but setting up other venues for this. Obviously, if you're in Vegas, you can go to a sports book and bet all you want. And if you're in Vegas, not only does it stay in Vegas, but it's legal in Vegas, so you can go right ahead and gamble all you want in Vegas. But in Michigan, if you wanted to bet on a pool like this or bet on a outcome of some event, like Super Bowl or whatever, right now there's not a lot of ways to place that bet legally, but Michigan's one of the states that's talking about it. So if that changes, I'll update you. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not that big on sports. I follow some sports, but I'm not terribly, I'm not one of these guys who's like beating people up because my team lost or something. But I will tell you, you'll notice I'm wearing a Detroit Tigers shirt today. And I'm not as big a baseball fan as I was when I was younger. I played Little League Baseball from T-ball up and really followed the Tigers back then. Glory days of the Tigers, Al Kaline, Mickey Lolich. They won the World Series in 1968 when I was a little kid, and that was a big, big deal. And they didn't win the World Series or even have a chance of going to the World Series until a few years later because they were really bad. The Tigers were horrible throughout the 70s. I mean, they were bad. They had losing streaks that threatened to become records. And, of course, in 1984, that all spun around. And I was living in southeastern Michigan at the time, hadn't gone to law school or anything like that yet. And they announced when the Tigers got into the World Series against San Diego, they said, the Tigers are going to be the home team for games 1 and 2. And then I believe it was two games to be played in San Diego. And then if there were other games, it was going to, alternate back and forth. So they go, so there's going to be at least 2 home games in the World Series and possibly 3 or 4, depending on how it works out. And so they said, remember, this is 1984. They said, if you want tickets to this game, you have to mail in a request with a check, and they're going to simply draw the envelopes out based on what you've written on the outside of the envelope. So if you wanted bleacher tickets, you'd put bleacher, I believe, on the outside of the envelope and what type of tickets you wanted. And you had to pay for the tickets with a check. And then if they didn't draw you, they'd just send you your money back. And so I didn't have a lot of money, but I wanted to go with a bunch of friends. So I actually sent in the money to try to get 4 bleacher seats. And I remember talking to my friends and they're like, dude, that's stupid. You're gonna mail in money and you might not get it. And if you do get it, what are the odds? And sure enough, I got the thing back and it goes, you have game 3. It may have been C, A, B, C, meaning home game, and then out there, and then C. And so this is a ticket that's only good if the Tigers lose 1 game. I hate to root against the Tigers, but they won both games here in Detroit, and they went to San Diego to play games 3 and 4. And out there, they lost a game. And I remember being at an establishment. Okay, it was a bar. I remember being at a bar watching the game with some friends of mine when they lost. And we're walking out, and I remember my friends going, oh, it's so bad they lost a game. And I go, guys, this is good news. This means there's going to be a game 5. And I've got tickets to game 5. Now, of course, everyone at this point becomes a friend of mine. But I'd already decided who I was going to go with. And those people were already locked in. This is who wanted to go. So on the night of the game, and I actually had the date and everything, because I looked up some of this stuff to make sure I had all my facts straight. But game 5 was famous. And I saw the entire thing from the bleachers at Old Tiger Stadium. So I'm sitting in the bleachers. Game 5, and that's the game where in the bottom of the 8th inning, the score was 5-4. Okay, the Tigers are ahead, 5-4, but it's close. It's still close. And Kirk Gibson came to bat with 2 men on, and he'd already hit a home run earlier in the game. But on the mound is Goose Gossage. And Goose Gossage at the time was a hero when it came to saving games. He was a notoriously good reliever, and they brought him in, tight game. They thought they could still pull this out. And when Kirk Gibson comes up, like I said, he'd already had, I believe, a couple hits, but he'd already had a home run. And Kirk Gibson's one of these guys where he likes to be in the position where everything's on him. He doesn't care. He thrives on that pressure. And so he comes up to the plate. And there's been a lot written about this because Sparky Anderson, the coach of the Tigers, manager, pulled Gibson aside and goes, I wonder if they're going to pitch to you because there's 2 men on and you've already hit a home run today. And if they pitch to you, you know, that seems like a crazy thing to do. And the two of them debated that topic. Will they pitch to me or not? Kirk Gibson. Meanwhile, the manager of San Diego goes up to the mound and is talking to Goose Gossage and goes, do you want to pitch this guy? Do you want to walk him? Because there's an open place on the bases. You can walk him. It'll load the bases. But at least Kirk Gibson ain't swinging at the ball. And Goose Gossage goes, no, I want to pitch to him. I want to pitch to him. Famous mistakes in sports for 100, Alex. Goose Gossage pitches to Kirk Gibson, and Kirk Gibson launches one into the right field stands. And it was one of those things where I'm in the bleachers underneath, so there's actually a deck above me, and the ball goes out of view. But you can tell by the reaction of everyone, including Kirk Gibson and probably the slumping shoulders of Goose Gossage, that ball was launched to where there's no question it was going to be a home run. And that wound up turning the score from 5-4 into 8-4. And that 8-4 was the final score of the game. Game 5, Tigers win the World Series. Pandemonium breaks loose. And I remember with my friends, there was a debate about do we go on the field or not? Because people were piling over the fence to get on the field, tear up turf, and do whatever you're going to do in a game where your team won the World Series. And I remember turning to my friends going, guys, we got to get out of here. We just got to get out of here. You don't necessarily want to be in downtown Detroit on a night like this. It was a kind of unusual night. I seem to remember it was a little on the chilly side, but it was not that bad. But there's almost like a mist or a fog in the air. And me and my friends ran back to where I'd parked the car. And I'd parked the car on the edge of somebody's lawn who charged us, I think, $5 or $10 to park the car there. And I actually drove the car over the curb and headed out of town, got home, turned on the TV news, and watched the shocked and appalled news anchors describing what they were seeing with just people in the streets screaming, yelling, burning things, tipping stuff over. But you know, there was the good news, though. The Tigers had won the World Series. So I do recall that a lot of the national news focused on the mayhem in the streets. But It was kind of neat because I you know, like I said, I didn't go to a lot of games at the time, but that was the year they started off with a 25-5 tear. They you know, 25 of their first 30 games they won. It was crazy. It's crazy how good they were. But the Kirk Gibson home run was something that I can, you know, I was at game 5. And you have to understand that, you know, Detroit's won the World Series since this. But for years, if I talk to people and they say, hey, do you like baseball? Do you like the Tigers? I'd say, yeah, I was at game 5. Didn't have to say game 5 of what everyone knew. Like, oh my gosh, you're at game 5. Game 5. Kirk Gibson. They pitched to him. You know. And then, of course, Kirk Gibson went to, you know, California and did a similar type of heroics that he's known for over there, which is not as important to me because he did that in California. But, you know, that's the story. So, again, getting back to the original, because I've digressed very, very distantly here. Betting on sports is probably illegal if you're doing it here during the bracket season in Michigan, and probably illegal where you are, but it's one of those laws that's not enforced. It's not enforced to the point now where states are looking into legalizing it so they can tax it and do that kind of stuff. So that's the deal with sports gambling. Questions or comments? Put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.